This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Laser, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. We're up to the 10th episode, and again, I'm going by air date, of the Andy Griffith Show. And this one is titled Ellie for Counsel. The air date was December the 12th, 1960, and it's very important to remember this at this particular time because of what happens in this episode. The writers were Jack Ellenson and Charles Stewart. It was directed by Bob Sweeney. This particular episode opens up with Barney and Hilda May and Ellie and Andy and Aunt Bee and Opie all out at a picnic out at Myers Lake. And they're all sitting around eating. And at first, they're watching Opie eat a lot of food, which no one could really believe how much he's eating. And they had to stop him from getting more. Well, Aunt Bee and Opie go looking for a walk. And Opie said he wanted to so he could get back and eat some more. And Barney and Hilda May are going for a walk. And Hilda May says, "I'm worried about wild animals." And Barney says, "I think you better be worried more about me than the wild animals," something to that effect. So again, basically what happens after they leave, Ellie and Andy start talking. Andy acts like he's going to take a nap, puts the newspaper over his face, and Ellie leans down and notices there's an article about town council. And she notices that all of the council seats are held by men, and people who are running are men. So she says something about her running or having women on the council. And again, this is 1960, and Andy's like, "Oh, no, they're called councilmen," and basically starts an argument between Ellie and Andy, where Andy tries to apologize, but he keeps saying that it's silly for women to run for council and deal with those kind of things. So basically what happens is Ellie gets mad and decides she's going to run for council. And one of the funniest scenes in the whole episode is early on where in order for Ellie to run for town council, she had to get a petition of 100 signatures. And Barney lets it slip that he actually signed the petition. And he gets called a turncoat by a gentleman playing Sam, and we'll talk about him in just a moment because he played another role earlier on in the Andy Griffith Show. But they asked Barney, "How did you get tricked into signing the petition?" And Barney basically says that, "Well, she sweet-talked me by calling me honey and sugar and cream puff," and then, of course, the men start to call him turncoat. But anyway, once she was able to get in, the men, basically, Andy reminds them that we hold the purse strings, was his terminology. And so they show several scenes of women going to stores attempting to purchase stuff, but their credit's been cut off, and so they can't buy anything. Well, Ellie and the women get together and say, "You know what, we can fight back on this." And so the women decide that they're no longer going to cook, sew, or do the ironing. And so you see several scenes where the men are doing their own cooking. Andy burns rice and eggs. And you see Sam, who's sewing and sticks himself. And you see Otis, who's actually ironing his shirt and burns his shirt. So again, it was the women fighting back. So again, the whole idea comes down to Ellie says, "You know, I'm tired. I didn't mean to cause a civil war here in Mayberry. I'm going to withdraw my name." And she says it's in Andy's kitchen while Opie's eating breakfast in front of Aunt Bee. And then Opie starts making some anti-women remarks that he probably heard from Andy or some of the other men about, "Yeah, we beat them women. We're going to keep them in their place." And at that point, Andy realizes that he's already, Opie is getting influenced in a negative way against women, and he didn't want this to happen. So what happens next is there's a big rally in front of the courthouse. Everybody's out there, men and women, and basically the episode ends with Andy making a speech to the crowd saying there's nothing wrong with women running for town council, and then Ellie kisses him on the cheek, and he makes a funny little remark. He says, "That's the first time the high sheriff has been kissed by a councilman." So again, a good episode. I love the ending of this episode. It's just Barney and Andy and Ellie on the front porch, and Barney playing the guitar, and he's making up rhymes and aggravates Barney, aggravates Ellie, and then finally says one about himself, about he needs to shut his mouth or move out of the South. Again, you don't see that on a lot of the episodes today because they've cut them for commercials. Let's talk about some of the interesting aspects of this. I mentioned the gentleman playing Sam. His name is Frank Ferguson. He appears as Sam. You may remember this face as he appeared on the very first Andy Griffith Show, where the housekeeper Rose, Andy's first housekeeper, was getting married. He appeared as Wilbur, so he was the person playing Wilbur there. Also in this episode, Dorothy Newman appears for the first time as Otis Campbell's wife. Now, she's a very familiar face. She has appeared in many television's most popular series, The Addams Family, Bewitched, Bonanza, F-Troop, Gunsmoke, Lassie, Mannix, Perry Mason, The Dick Van Dyke Show, one of my favorite all-time shows, Tales from the Crypt, and The Twilight Zone. And then she's been in so many films that I could take another 5 minutes naming all of her films. Also appearing for the first time as Hilda May is Florence McMichael, Barney's first steady girlfriend. Her name now is Florence McCoy. But you may recognize her as she was a regular on My Three Sons, and she also played the role of Winnie Kirkwood on the Mr. Ed series. And again, she played several other series, Alfred Hitchcock, Dennis the Menace, and was in several other movie roles as well. So again, you saw they got some talented character actors for the show. So it was really interesting to see that. Now, one of the cultural aspects about this particular Andy Griffith show is the fact the way women's role was perceived. If you look closely at the episode, again, it's obvious that Andy and other men felt like women shouldn't be running for council. This was 1960, and these type of issues were really rare on a television show back in 1960. But you also saw that what the women were doing, the cooking, the sewing, and those kinds of things, that was basically being stated that that's women's work and men should go out and earn the money. The men controlling the purse strings. I'd like to run that past my wife. I can't imagine having the control to cut off my wife spending her money, nor would I want to. But again, it gives you a sign of the times of the issues of women's rights at this particular time in the episode. Now, let's talk a little bit about the some character cast background, and this is one of my favorite persons to talk about, and that's Ronnie Howard. Talk a little bit about Ronnie Howard. Now, Ron Howard, of course, one of the most successful directors in Hollywood. He was born in Duncan, Oklahoma. His father, Rance, appeared on the Andy Griffith Show series and in other movies that you've seen Ron direct. Also, Ron's brother, Clint. Some people don't know this, but he was a little boy known as Leon who was always offering his half-eaten, usually peanut butter and jelly sandwich to Barney or other people. But that's Clint Howard. And you'll see Clint Howard in several movies as well that Ron Howard has directed, and some he hasn't directed. But before joining the Andy Griffith Show, Ronnie Howard, at the age of 2, played in the play The Seven-Year Itch. Can you imagine being in a play at age 2? And later on such other television programs as The Red Skelton Show and Playhouse 90. By the way, you might wonder, how did he get into it? Well, his father, Rance, was in the Air Force, and he was attached to Special Services as a director of entertainment programs. So his father really sort of helped him there. When Ronnie Howard joined the Andy Griffith Show, he was only 6 years old. And basically, Ron Howard has one of the most unique childhoods that's ever been videotaped. Obviously, you can watch him on The Andy Griffith Show and then Happy Days, and you can watch Ron Howard basically grow up. And he did some movies. I've seen him in a movie with John Wayne before, so, I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff. One of the things that they talked about is how the Howard family was so good. His father, Rance, was always on the set with Ronnie, helping him with his lines. And Sheldon Leonard, who had a big hand in the show and had worked with child actors before, took extra special precautions to make sure little Ronnie was comfortable. They said they allowed little Ronnie to bring his skates on the set. They stocked the refrigerator with ice cream and other things, so it was a pleasant environment. Said they don't remember ever having any trouble with any of the child actors, but Ronnie Howard was probably the most adaptable and most promising in terms of a permanent acting career. Speaking of child actors, and I agree with Don Knotts. I've heard Don Knotts say that he thought Ronnie Howard was the best child actor he's ever seen. In Richard Kelly's book, The Andy Griffith Show, he talks about how not only was Ron Howard a great actor, but he's also a good person. I'm going to read a quote from Don Knotts here. It says, "Ron was always such a down-to-earth boy. He was not like most of the movie kids that I know, most of who are precocious and have become insensitive. I think this is mainly due to their parents who don't handle them right and who allow them to get everything out of perspective. But Ronnie's father, again, Rance, and his mother, but particularly his father, were right there to keep Ronnie's perspective where it should be, so he never got out of line. When you meet Ron Howard today, you'll see he's about as nice a young man as there is on this planet." And that's something I've always heard people say about Ron Howard. Don Knotts also said he thought Ron Howard's acting ability was largely instinctive. He said, Ron said, the director would tell little Ronnie, "All right, this is a scene where you have this little problem, and I want you to think about it because it's very sad." And he said, as soon as they'd turned the camera on, Ronnie would come out and just do it perfectly. And Don Knotts said, "Wow, I've been doing this for 20 years, and this kid just walks up and does." He says, that has to be instinct. So again, some nice comments there about Ron Howard, his acting ability, and how he is as a person. person. He's a guy that I'd always like to meet in person. I just think it would be so interesting to talk to him about his career. Well, it's time for the trivia question, and you have to pay close attention on this one. I mentioned earlier, for Ellie to get on the ballot to run for town council, she needed 100 signatures. Can you tell me what number signature was Barney on that list of 100 names? So again, she needed 100 signatures to run for town council. What number signature was Barney? In other words, was he 22nd, 31st, 100? And if you know the answer, feel free to email me. If you want to take a guess and just simply look up the answer, you can go to my website, burkeonmayberry.com, and you'll find the answer there. I appreciate you listening to Burke on Mayberry. I'm enjoying doing these podcasts. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, don't hesitate to contact me at burkek@etsu.edu. And as they'd say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours. Thanks for listening.